get our meeting started. Stand and do the pledge to the flag, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The clerk call the roll, please.
Wise.
Present.
Allinger.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Srilik.
Here. Our next on the agenda is public participation. We have nothing on the agenda this evening to discuss any of the... Nothing. You want...
Do what?
The project in hand, but we will listen to your concerns. I have the list of people here. And before we do that, we have the engineer on that project. There's been a few changes. We'll let him discuss that for you.
Sure. Can I just face them? Actually, my name is Ty Eshelman. I work for Chamlin & Associates. I represent the developer. I know that after the Planning Commission meeting, there were a lot of concerns, about traffic on North Street and also about drainage on North Street. And my biggest thing to you folks is we listen to you. We try to listen to you. When this project first started, IDOT did not want us anywhere near 54 or their road. But after you voiced your concerns last week, Planning Commission, we went back and kind of gave them some options, and they have preliminarily approved to let us move our entrance to the highway. So we will no longer be using North Street. I know that's one thing that was a huge concern. And I understand. I get it. I really do. I understand why. So with that being said, and with that entrance moving up to the highway, that has also allowed us to kind of rotate the building and rotate our layout just a little bit. And that is going to allow us more detention along the east side of the property, the potential Dollar General site. That new detention area will handle not only what's on the back end of our site, but the remainder of that acreage behind us that they're not buying. The new design, with that being back there, has been designed to be over-detained, which in layman's terms means we've designed it to hold more water than is actually necessary, or more runoff than is actually necessary, in hopes that it can slow down what ends up in that drain along North Street. Now, unfortunately, that's where we have to drain it to. I mean, we can't drain it anywhere else, but it is our hope with this new design and this over-design that when we get a huge storm, like we were just talking about, they used to call that a 100-year storm, and oddly enough, a 100-year storm comes about every 10 years anymore. that water should actually flow into that slower than it even does now. Retainage. So those plans, I got a copy of the revised plans today. I spoke with the mayor just a little bit ago. They're due to the city tomorrow. So that we can get, the city obviously has to run all that stuff through their engineer and make sure that they agree with the way that we've done calculated things. And then that would get us back to going back in front of the Planning Commission to see if we can get it approved with a new, with this new layout and design. The design itself, I mean, the layout of the parking lot, the layout of the store, really not much different than it was before. It just, coming off of the highway allows us to kind of tip it a little bit and allows us the advantage to get a little more detention area in there. Like I said, to hopefully take some of that water, keep some of that water longer than it would be held right now even, and get it into that tile slower so that, you know, hopefully it keeps that corner and that street from flooding. You know, unfortunately, I can't stand here and guarantee you that. I mean, that's what it's designed for, obviously. But, you know, if you get a gully washer and get 4 inches of rain in 45 minutes, it can only do so much. So, you know, hopefully it at least helps. Yeah, I mean, it certainly can't hurt. And it's definitely going to take, anything that the new site, the new store itself and the parking lot and the impervious area is going to generate. But it's also going to take that field adjacent. And, you know, it is our hope and our, you know, our scientific engineered belief that it's gonna slow that down. So, you know, hopefully that, I'm sure there's still concerns, but that is, we always try to be a good neighbor. And, you know, my biggest thing is we want you to know that we did hear you. We listened and, you know, in the beginning when IDOT says no, they usually mean, no, we don't want to talk to you at all. In this case, we went back and said, hey, listen, this is what's happening. And when we gave them a little background and a little bit of, you know, why we're looking to do something else, they kind of gave us the nod and said, yep, we understand. And okay, we'll give you the sign off for this. So, like I said, the plan should be in hand here at the city, at least a digital copy tomorrow, and then I will get hard copy sets down here as soon as I can after that. Take me, you know, probably a day to print several sets of that off, but I will get hard copies down here for you guys and for, you know, public. So, that's really all I have. I just, you know, I appreciate you guys letting me address things first a little bit. And I do appreciate all of you guys. I understand. I've done this hundreds of times for these guys. We run into this all the time. It is never our desire to, it's bad business for us to not listen to you guys. So, I just want you to know that we tried. This is where we're at with it right now. And that's what we're going to try to do. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Start up at the west end of North Street. If you want to come forward and talk to the council, and not unless the engineers answered some of your questions. We'll start with Tracy Carr. She's on the west side of the street, or the west end of the street, first house coming down. You want to state your name for the record, please?
Sure. It's Tracy Carr. Okay, So there's a lot of what ifs and hopefullys that he just stated, and that is a huge, huge concern with me. My number one thing that I want to address is the water issue over there. City was, you know, I live in my grandma's home. So my family lived, we had Suggs, the house I'm in, and then the house my Uncle Jack lived in, Kendra's house. So we've been along that end of the street for many, many, many years. And the one thing that really comes to my mind is before the city redid the drain issues in the area, we had a storm that, so if you go in my back door and you come down, you have to come down like 3 steps and then you go down like 8 steps into the basement of the building, of my basement. And prior to the city fixing the drainage over in that area, there was water almost in up inside the home from that storm. Now that it's been fixed, I might get just a tiny bit of seepage when it rains. And, you know, I'm sitting back here listening to, you know, we're going to put this retainer area and hopefully it will grab all the water and hopefully it will take it, you know, and drain it appropriately. But I'm not seeing how that can happen whenever you're putting concrete and asphalt in a building on top of a field, which is already absorbing some of that water. And then it, you know, it's going to be more water coming off of that. And I don't, but I'm not, you know, that's just my opinion. We've seen it just flood over there. And what happens when this should work and it doesn't work? And then my basement is completely flooded out over there. You know, what do I do then? Do I have to go and sue somebody because somebody said that it should take care of things? I don't think that's fair. That's my main concern. Another concern I have is I don't understand why they were allowed to, or they weren't allowed to, I guess, but they did anyway, came in and started working on the premises without any permits, and nobody had even been heard, and we were informed later on about the project. It would have been, I think, very beneficial for the city to come and talk to the residents who have lived down there for so long to talk to us about what kind of, you know, situation we might be put in about the project. You know, the entrance is now off of the highway, which that helps, but, you know, there's still other issues at hand. Property values, foot traffic over there. But my number one concern is that water, because I'm not in the position where I can move, and I don't want to move out of that house. It's my grandma's home. So I want to be guaranteed that it's not going to ruin the drainage over there and ruin my home, because I can't move and I don't have the money to constantly replace things that are in that basement. That's the main thing. The appreciation of our properties is huge. I've already heard it's like 21% our values of our homes are going to go down. I don't understand why one of the other properties in town was not picked by this company. I mean, they're set up right out here to where the new Walmart was supposed to go in, and then they could just move right in there. And it sounds like they're ready to, it's buildable, ready to be built on out there. It'd be a great location. You guys wanted to have that be developed out that way, so I don't understand why that wouldn't want to be considered. I'm sure it had to do with the price of that land that sold, since I was a private owner that sold that land. You know, could have put that land up for sale and somebody could have bought it that was in the area to keep it open too, or put a personal business on. Those are my key things. And, you know, I've seen you come by, Mr. Mayor, quite a bit this last few weeks, like last since the last meeting, and I appreciate that. And my concern still is this company came in and dumped rock in that in the drainage area across the street, and it's still there. And we're supposed to have heavy rains, pockets of heavy rains on Thursday. My neighbor's got pictures of, you know, what kind of water we had standing from just the drizzle we got the other day. I know a call was made up to the city, and we was informed that that rock would not cause any delay of that water coming down in that ditch. And I just sat up here in this meeting for the building committee, and he told me, told us, that, yeah, it's going to dam up that water right there. So right there, we got issues. So that's my main concerns. There's...
Okay, thank you. Next house is Mrs. Hunt. Got quite a few, so kind of keep it brief, if you would, please.
I'll omit 14 pages that I had then. Sorry. Kendra Hunt. I live at 1622 East North Street. You know, you're probably going to hear a lot about the water, so I'm just going to show you why I cannot park behind my house. I'm the one that always parks up front. I'm sure that you saw the red Jeep.
Yeah, they're second home in.
I'm sorry?
You're the second home to the east.
Third. Suggs is third. At the end.
Third home?
Third.
Yeah. So this is our alleyway, and I cannot park back there even if we get a drizzle, because the alley is built so high that I get all of that runoff and it goes directly into my garage. And then this is the entranceway. Sorry about my compost. But that is the gate into my backyard, and I cannot make my 8-year-old walk through this much water. It's up to his ankles. So I choose to park up front. But if the entrance can be moved, that will at least save my street parking, because I do have my elderly mom visits me once or twice a day just to get out of the house. So I was concerned about her safety with parking, because I only have one spot for her to do that. So I'm going to let somebody else talk about the water. But we do get quite a bit over there. This was just last week with that drizzle. My whole ditch is flooded out front, and it does cover my driveway. That's just the...
They come down today and cleaned out your culvert?
I'm so sorry.
They come down today
I don't have a culvert. I have a concrete. I don't have anything underneath my drive.
You're the concrete drive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's rock at the very end to meet the road.
Okay.
So there's just a couple of things that I wanted to touch base with about, let's see, the revenue that can possibly potentially be brought in, and Dollar General seems to reduce the tax revenues. For instance, if they're going to build one of that has the food shops and things like that in it, the place for the fresh foods, that will affect our grocery stores. And there is a small town similar size of ours. After 3 years, the store ended up closing, and that resulted in a $75,000 tax loss for the city. It eventually put them out of business, which was a locally based owner that contributed back to the town, whether it's donations to nonprofit, sponsoring the little baseball teams. Dollar General just doesn't do that. They need to insert themselves into the community, and I just don't think that they do that. Not like a lot of our locally owned businesses here. And I would just hate to see that other businesses would be hurt and we would potentially lose Save-A-Lot or Kirby down the road. So that is my main issue. Another one is in this same town, with it being in a residential area, and that's the key, it's in a residential area. If it was in a business district, a lot of these issues wouldn't happen. Our property value is going to go down by 16 to 21%. And when I found out about all of this, I had my house appraised. I was going to put it on the market, and we started shopping for houses. I know what my house appraised for, and if I was to lose 19% of my home, that's $40,000 that I've just lost if this is built. And I think that that's just unacceptable for the city to ask me to just lose $40,000. Collectively, if we all lost 16 to 21% of our homes, that entire street is over $360,000 loss for residents on that street alone. That's not including the houses behind us or anything like that. And this build is also going to increase municipal expenses. We're going to see probably increase of crime on this end of town. Obviously, going to have sewer issues. And it's going to be traffic intensive, accidents, things like that. And with the pedestrians walking from two blocks from the housing complex, the apartment buildings, there's no sidewalks for them to walk on. The entrance, I understand, has been moved, but they're still going to be walking that direction. And for their safety on what are our streets over there, 16 feet wide, there's nowhere for them to walk if a car is coming, especially if two cars are coming opposite directions. And I think that's just going to be a safety issue. So it's an infrastructure problem when the area is not prepared for a business to go in a residential area. So I'm very worried about all of that. And then, let's see, I looked all kinds of stuff up. I really, really worry about the safety in that area, because I'm now going to have to look at cameras to protect my property. I'm worried about the noise. My husband works nights. He sleeps during the day. We bought on the edge of town for a reason. And I don't know how long this is going to take to construct, but his sleep pattern is going to be interrupted. I do have young kids still in the house, and that light that is going to be going, I don't know if it ever gets turned off. I have massive windows. I have probably the largest windows on that street. I do have curtains. They're not foolproof. So I'm probably going to have to look at getting awnings to try to block some of all of these lights and everything out. And I really, really do want to point out what I feel is the disrespect of the contractors that have been there. I went to get out of my driveway last Tuesday morning. That semi parked right in my driveway. I could not get out to even take my kids to school because this was taken at 8:07 in the morning. And I understand that the street is narrow, but it parked there for a while. Like Tracy said, I think that when you come in on a Monday and you start working the ground without a permit, a stop work order was issued. You come in Tuesday knowing you're not supposed to be there. Again, you're working on site when you're not supposed to. A stop work was ordered. And then Thursday, you do the exact same thing and bring in more stuff. At what point,
I didn't know that.
At what point is there fines involved, suspension of license? Like, that is completely against the law in my eyes. If it was anybody else, if it was me, I would have been fined and fired and all of that. I think the actions of this company should question the ethics. To me, that's just not very ethical. I'm really hoping that you guys as a collective group understand the importance to keep the safe streets. And with the plan proposed in front of you, the issues with even the parking lot, having where the dock is, the unloading, that semi is going to have to turn and then back into that spot, which is one side. So when they're backing in, that's a lot of blind spots. That's, what, 30 parking spaces that truck is going to take up. And that's just a safety issue because they're going to have to back in to unload all of that. So I see other issues other than just the entrance. My big one is the decrease of my home value. That's a big one for me. That's a lot of money in my eyes. And I think a lot of stuff needs to be discussed before this is considered. I mean, that's a lot that you're asking East North Street, and even behind, we can even probably do Lisenby, Washington. It's going to affect the value property of all of our homes. And I know that what I could have put it on the market for 3 weeks ago has drastically changed. And it's just, it's upsetting. It's just very, very upsetting. And I'm hoping that that it's all reconsidered and another location can be figured out. Because I know that we have an empty family video also. There is one in Bloomington that Dollar General is currently in. So is that not an option too? Other than out on the other side where Walmart was going to go? So I think that there's a better solution than having the residents give up so much,
okay,
to be honest.
Thank you. Dwayne?
Dad had bought that 20-some years ago, and it's just a storage shed for us. I'm just more worried about what I have in the shed. And if it is going to go in this place, I would like to see some larger tiles, not tile, but the pipe when they put that storm sewer in that goes there. One's by my walk-in door and one's up on the corner. That the water that they're going to bring from us, because it's going to come around that, yeah, it's going to get in the retention pond, but it's also going to come around the west side of the building, northwest side, and that's going to, that corner down there is so low. It would need, in my opinion, better drainage with the ditches and the tile, the pipe size enlarged. And I don't really know what size it is back at my walk-in door, but I know it goes to like an 8-inch across the road. So those from probably that open manhole, that open drain there by the walk-in door to the front one at the corner, I don't know what size that one is either, but those may need to be enlarged in order to take care of the water if this all goes in the way that he's wanting it to go. Take care of, because if they dam it up on the north side, put the entryway, there'll be a culvert going onto the highway, and it's just going to make that water run a little bit faster. I don't think it can come around and go into their detention pond. And then if it does go, what size a pipe is going to go from the retention pond to the drain there on Lisenby Street on the east side? I don't need it to flood anymore. I've got some old stuff in there that I could hopefully use at one time. That's why it's stored in this shed, out of the way. It's old elevator equipment. Time I really have not a lot to say other than it is a storage shed. It's not worth a whole lot, but it does what I want it to do, which makes it valuable to me at a certain point. I've got my Firebird sitting in there and my grandfather's car and dad's old truck and stuff. Those are the main things that I don't want to see go underwater like my grandfather's Buick did and get up in the motor and stuff and pretty well shot the motor. So At this time, and I would like to state that if we do get a print of this, that I could come up and pick one up. And it can even be a small one, just to kind of see how this lays, because I know coming around the highway, that corner down there at North Street does get fairly deep with water. So, thank you.
Mrs. Rogers? Mark's going to do the speaking.
Well, I might add a few things if you...
She doesn't trust me.
We're going down to Lisbon, down at the corner of Washington Street now, guys.
Yeah. I am Mark Rogers. excuse me. We have lived on East Washington Street for approximately 47 years. Several of you know how deep it gets around my house. Our house has flooded three times since we've been there. So that throws their 100-year plan out the window right away. I don't think there's any size of retention pond other than maybe Weldon Springs might hold the water. It comes in, and the new drainage sewer out there has helped quite a bit. But I still have water standing in my yard at times. I have a field tile in the back of my yard that carries water out. And the last time it flooded, it was 2 inches deep in my house, and that field tile was the only thing that carried the water away. We definitely need better infrastructure on the city side. As far as traffic, if we get the rock out of the ditch, we've already had more traffic around there in the last few days. I guess it got out that we were speaking against the Dollar General. We're not speaking against the Dollar General. We just want the infrastructure built up to where it doesn't flood our houses again. And I know that there is, they quoted some number that the water will come off of that slower than it comes off of the dirt. I'm a graduate of Illinois State University in industrial technology. There is no way that water will come off of tarmac and a building slower than it would come off of a dirt field. As far as that, there is a city ordinance. If they build up that and improve it and cannot provide proof that it will not flood, the city ordinance says they need to build a berm around that building or around that property to guarantee that water does not come and flood our homes anymore. The traffic, even during the phase when they were not supposed to be there, but they were, the semis of rock were coming down Washington Street and across Lisbon. Lisbon is not built for heavy truck traffic carrying white rock. They keep saying we guarantee that these trucks and stuff won't go that way. But they do. They still do. They've unloaded some of their equipment on Lisbon and drove it through the ditch. One of the guys said, I think we messed up your storm sewer because I think we hit the grating with the bulldozer. So I don't know. I haven't gone to check. It was covered with leaves. And it's just a situation where they're not, they don't seem to care. They don't seem to care. In that end of town, we've got people out there now that care. We care about each other, and we care about this city. And I just wish the city would care about us. I really don't have much else. Most of the people have covered everything, except I don't. I, at my age, I can't afford to have my house flooded again, 2 inches deep. I'm on a slab. The last time the state says, well, you can raise it, and that would mean I'd have to cut it off 3 feet high, and all of my pipes are underground. So I would lose all my water. I'd have to tear it down and reconstruct. I have, after the first two floods, I have actually had, and you can't tell it, I have had 25 loads of dirt hauled in and leveled out on my ground. And yet the last time it flooded, it was about 3 feet deep out in the yard. And like I said, it was 2 inches deep in the house. And it's just, I can't do that again. And I really ask for your appreciation in thinking about this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pass if that's okay.
Okay, that's fine. Gina Greger.
I'm Tina Gregory. I live at 1704 East North, so I'm after Lisenby. We live on, actually, next to Mr. Sessions' shed. We have the lot that our house is on, the lot next door, and we have the empty lot. So we own three lots. Where they're going to be, where they're going to end, is about halfway in between all three of our lots. I have seen in the 9 years, I've been here 9 years, my husband's owned the house 10, lots of flooding. Our basement has flooded a couple of times. Has it gotten better? Yes, but that's because we've built up around our house better. We keep our driveway pretty clear, the underneath of it. He's gone over to Lisenby and kind of cleared out that area when it's flooded pretty good. I'm sure I was here when his car flooded because we were walking, you know, almost knee deep to get to so we could, you know, get the drain cleared of any debris that was coming off the field. I've watched water battle itself back and forth between our gully and the gully across the street. I'm just kind of scared. I'm happy 100%. I said in this meeting last week that I think they need to rethink, flip it around, put it off of 54 so it's not on our street. You know, down in our area, the street gets smaller. So having two cars, I own a Tahoe and my husband owns just a regular GMC pickup truck. We can't put our cars side by side without one of us having to be, you know, in the ditch a little bit on both sides. So I'm glad they listened. I'm glad that they've decided to switch it. I would like to see a fence, a privacy fence would be nice. And I only say this because of the trash that's going to be coming off of there. I don't know if you've looked at it today with all the wind and stuff that's come in the last couple of weeks, the trash that comes from whichever direction of the town ends up on our neighborhood block. There's a huge box that's now in the field. Where that came from, I have no idea. People's garbage knock over. I'm sure it's everywhere, but with having that field, we get, you know, I kind of will be happy to not have all of that wind coming at us if they block it, if that makes sense with their buildings, and if you put up a privacy fence that will keep their trash and maybe a little bit of the sound out of our neighborhood. Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed because I know our house is going to be worth less. When my husband bought the house, he bought it as a drug repo. It was worth under $30,000. We just had it appraised last year and it's worth $100,000, and that's only with the two lots. That's not including the empty lot. So, you know, like they said, you take between $10,000 to $20,000 off. My house is now only worth $80,000, and I'm telling you, we've spent that just in fixing it up, making it look nice. You know, when I say a drug repo, it was an older house. It's over 100 years old. We've done a lot. The guy who used to own it came. He was delivering pizzas, and he said, you know, I used to own this house, and it doesn't even look close to the same. And I said, I know. You know, when a new family moves in, you know, I like this town. I grew up in a way smaller town that was a village, and it didn't become a town until about 10, 15 years ago. So kind of living here after living in Bloomington Normal, living in a small town, I love it. My son's gone here since kindergarten, you know, and I told him we have 4 grandkids that are going to go through this school system. You know, we already have 2. We've got 2 more to go. And, you know, they don't want us to move. They love our house. You know, I want a bigger house eventually. But for right now, I kind of like to stay where I'm at. Am I saying that I want them to leave? Because I've kind of been mixed on this. At every town that you go to that there's a Dollar General, they're there as soon as you come in, no matter where you go. I work for the biggest retailer in the world. They want to be seen, and I get that. You know, that's why when they said that they were going to build with their front doors facing our street, why would you do that? You want to be facing 54. You want to be facing those people. Who's going to know who you are unless you put a big sign up, right? Nobody's going to know that that's the back of Dollar General unless you got a huge sign. So, like I said, I'm glad they've redesigned it, refigured it out. So I'm going to hold my, I don't want you here in this lot until I see where they've redesigned it. I just don't want you on my street. Does that make sense? I mean, I guess that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Need a motion to approve our minutes of our last meeting, March 7th.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Any discussion on the minutes? If not, call the roll.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Wise.
Yes.
Frelick.
Yes. I'll have the clerk read the bills on payroll.
General Administration, $4,843.73. Economic Development, $470.57. Police, $5,449.06. Fire, $3,659.80. Street, $4,495.36. Parks, $401.99. Public Health and Safety, $3,455.39. Liability Insurance, $255. Garbage, $93.16. Cemetery, $658.96. Water Operations, $25,323.79. Sewer Operations, $4,155.31. Water Main Extension Project Fund, $26,977.74. Warner Hospital and Health Services Operating Account, $517,378.98.
Thank you. Have a motion to approve the bills and payroll.
I move to approve the bills and payroll.
I second.
Any discussion? If not, call the roll.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Frelick?
Yes. Tonight we got a reappointment to the Fire Pension Board.
Motion to reappoint Clint Lichtenwalter to the Fire Pension Board, said term to expire April 1st, 2025.
I make the motion.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Frelick?
Yes. We'll move down to streets and public improvement.
Yeah, the guys and crews started picking up the brush this week. We restarted the brush pickup. We have gone back after the storm. We picked up the big piles no matter what. But now we're going back down to our regular size and pickup times and stuff. So our next pickup will be April the 17th. So that's all I've got.
Okay. Public property?
I don't have a whole lot this evening. Last month, we had the lime silos. We had some motors that helped get that lime distributed, and both of them were out. They've got one of them back. The other one will be back into service shortly. We're going to have one on hand to make sure that we don't have that issue again. But they're back, and everything's working like it should be. Guys have been doing just normal, and other than that, that's all I have.
Health and safety?
I've got one main thing. Last meeting, we talked about engine 2 at the fire department. Brake system went out of it. It ended up being more. I called Tom and talked to him. We estimated 5,000 to 6,000. It's going to be right at 14,000. They found bad lines, seals, everything under there. So I talked to Tom, and, you know, it's something that's got to happen. So, you got anything on that, Tom?
No, other than the fact we have to have the thing.
Yeah.
It's one of the major trucks we use.
And yeah, that's our country truck. So.
And we all know how long it takes to get a new one.
Yeah, 3 years now.
Yeah.
And then, speaking of the new truck, the new fire truck will be here. We're scheduled to go pick it up July 1st. Correct, Dave?
Towards the end of July.
Okay. So we'll be going down and getting that and bringing it back. And then on down at new business, you'll see we're putting on file the Mabus agreement. It's been an agreement the city of Clinton's had since the 80s. And it's a statewide agency. It provides all the backup equipment that you can't buy. We have never went out and helped do anything out of ours. Everything has always been brought to us. We have a hazmat trailer here that belongs to Mabus. We've only used their resources. We've never had to give any. So.
Mayor?
He wants to speak.
In regards to the Mabus, they are actually a multi-state organization. They got their start within the state of Illinois, and they expanded it to be multi-state. And they're asking all the municipalities that they work with to approve this new agreement that they have. And really what it comes down to is they've had different contracts for each states and whatnot that they've worked with. And from what I understand it, they are looking to consolidate and make one contract for all states and all areas, which is why you see in the agreement, you know, if you're in this state, these rules apply. If you're in this state, these rules apply. So, again, they've worked with many municipalities for many, many decades. And like I said, this is just a consolidated contract for everyone they work with. So that's why you see this come before you now.
And we just recently used some of their equipment at the big gas leak. We brought in fans. So, you know, It gives us tools we can't have.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have.
Yeah, our last contract was in 05. That's why I kind of looked at it, because it was all phrased different.
Right.
It's an intergovernmental agreement now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's more, a lot more broader, like you said.
Yes.
Is this our mutual agreement with our other standby?
No.
We have a separate agreement with all the other ones.
Yes.
So we're not depending on Mabus to...
Mabus just furnishes us resources and equipment. The mutual aid fire departments, first alarm, second alarm, reaches out, as we call them. They are our area fire departments, furnishes manpower and all of their equipment. If we have a fire, vice versa, if they have one, we go to their aid. But it's not statewide. It's just in a short area for your mutual aid agreement.
Mm-hmm.
The Mabus agreement is statewide, and that draws resources, like you said, from other states also, if there's a tornado, earthquake, or something.
It's disastrous.
Yes.
Because I am, if we have something out of the plant, I am a supplies stuff for us there.
To an extent. They work together. It's everybody comes together when you got the big thing. So.
But we've been in agreement since 2000.
Well, we've been in it long before that.
Okay.
Yeah, but the last one we signed was in 05. So this is, like your lawyer said, it's a whole new agreement statewide now.
Yeah.
Right.
Johnson Finance.
The only thing I have is that Clint will have in your mailbox the proposed copy of the next budget. Look it over. have any questions, give either Clint or me a call, and then we'll place it on file at the next regular meeting.
Thank you, Tom. We'll move down to new business. We're going to place three items on file. The first one is the intergovernmental agreement with Mavis. Second one is the 2023 MFT summer maintenance for $100,000. And the third one is the garbage bids, one-year contract, GFL Environmental is $3,165, J&S Disposal is $4,239, which we'll have to revise that because that bid came in with Saturday and Sunday for the apple and pork, and the other bid is just for one day. So there is a little bit of discrepancy in the totals, like $900. So we'll correct that when we go by. That's all we have this evening. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'd make that motion.
I'll second it.
Call the roll.
Weiss?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Strelick?
Yes. Meeting adjourned.
A taco salad, and I think it's working.
You need to go.
You can go.